The Republican wall is beginning to crack with one of the biggest announcements to date. Mr. Barr admitted the Justice Department had found no widespread voter fraud and certainly not enough to overturn the election in any particular state. Mr. Giuliani continues to prattle on in a somewhat insane fashion. The idea of pardons have now erupted in public, with Mr. Trump considering preemptive pardons for his three children, Jared Kushner and Mr. Giuliani. One of the greatest ironies of that conversation is that in order to be pardoned, you have to have committed a crime or are believed to be guilty. So this effectively constitutes an admission that at least some of their actions were criminal in nature. There was also a question legally as to whether or not a pardon can be issued for someone not yet at least indicted, if not convicted. This will provide years of litigation and likely create a scenario in which some or all of them are indicted, which they still can be under state law, and that they attempt to raise the pardon as a defense. The New York DA and New York State Attorney General should have some real fun come January 21st. The Supreme Court surprised many people given the comments offered concerning the census count and who should be counted. It appears that the justices are at least being consistent in their constitutional theories by reading the literal words. In addition, they also seem to be being practical, with Justice Roberts and several others effectively saying, until we know whether or not the Census Bureau can produce the information and what that information is, the case may not be ready for decision. The concept is known as ripeness in the law, and it is reasonable to argue that it is not ripe. But importantly, the justices seem to be focusing on what the law is rather than what Mr. Trump wants. On the pandemic stimulus front, a bipartisan group got together to announce a $908 billion plan. Speaker Pelosi and Leader McConnell were silent, with the exception of Mr. McConnell's statement that we likely will see something in early January. The trigger point, in my view, is what the outcome is in the Georgia Senate races on January 5th. If Democrats were to win both, which I think is unlikely, then Mr. McConnell's string is up, so to speak, and he may agree to a quick piece of stimulus legislation because he knows that if he doesn't, ultimately the bill will be even larger than anticipated. The economy is in a perilous position, with the Fed Chairman, Mr. Powell, and the Secretary of the Treasury, Mr. Mnuchin, waging an ongoing battle regarding how the government should respond. Mr. Powell is pushing for more stimulus. Mr. Mnuchin seems to be going in the opposite direction. At the same time, we see claims for unemployment dropping after going up for several weeks. A somewhat inconsistent performance, but I think that is the impact of the regionalization of the economic recovery. The next question, unfortunately, is how much does the COVID surge affect the recovery as it continues to grow? The number of cases is obviously increasing dramatically. The number of hospitalizations are as well, but deaths seem to be slowing, at least on a statistical analysis basis, versus the number of cases and hospitalizations. This could be attributed to the fact that hospitals are better at treating patients now because they have learned over the last several months. But at the same time, that only works as long as people can get into the hospital and be treated. And it appears that many Americans fail to recognize that there is a tipping point at which the ability to treat people will evaporate, and then the likelihood of a greater number of deaths becomes reality. As I have repeatedly noted, if you and your loved ones want to stay out of the hospital, wear a mask and social distance. It's not that tough. Let me also raise again something that I hinted at a couple of weeks ago. If you have a constitutional right not to wear a mask and not to social distance, do you really have the right to be treated if you get sick? With the exercise of rights comes responsibility. It appears to me that those screaming loudest about their constitutional rights at the same time refuse to take responsibility. Why should they clog the hospitals? John Deere expects more machinery sales in 2021, as they believe sales will rise due to an increase in crop prices, somewhat arising out of the COVID situation, as well as the hope that Mr. Biden will be able to increase agricultural exports through new trade deals. It is interesting to me that a relatively conservative entity like John Deere came out of, if you will, Ag Country, as well as the ag business, is prepared to take this position in public announcements. I think it's good news for everyone. The U.S. and Canada have announced a task force to study how to reopen the U.S.-Canadian border, with the members being two former governors, a former premier, and a deputy prime minister. This is certainly a step in the right direction, although ultimately the decision will be made upon the number of COVID cases that exist in both countries, and I suspect the earliest we will see an opening or any material change in the border crossing activity will be sometime in the March-April timeframe. These task forces always are of interest to me because they tend to enlist folks who are former and folks who are not involved in the day-to-day operations of the border or border communities. We will see what they do and what they come up with. Not much, I suspect. Mr. Trudeau says the border will be closed for quite some time. So maybe that's the answer. The president continues to lose in his attempts to overturn the election, primarily because his claims are at best frivolous, if not fraudulent, in and of themselves. It appears to me he is getting to the point where signing affidavits or having others sign affidavits may involve perjury. In a federal court case out of the Third Circuit, Judge Stefanos Bibas, a Trump appointee, stated the campaign's claims have no merit. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court, addressing many of the same issues, dismissed with prejudice the campaign's claims in state court. All we can be thankful for is that judges are doing the job of judges, and not as Mr. Trump claimed, that there were Obama judges and there were Trump judges. The U.S. dollar is weakening, and investors are betting it's going to get weaker. It has dropped to the lowest level in 2 years, and the sentiment of investors is based upon the fact that COVID-19 will be conquered in the months ahead as vaccines will become available, which will allow the economy to turn around and begin the process of recovery, not only in the United States, but around the world. This will allow investors to back out of the relatively safe investments in the U.S. currency and treasuries. As the U.S. dollar weakens, it will increase the flow of both exports and imports, and will also present many opportunities. The UK signed a deal with Canada as it gets ready to do a no-deal Brexit. This was a very quick turnaround, and we will see how much needs to be corrected as we go forward. On the same front, the US has signed a mini-agreement with Great Britain dealing with lobsters. Now, if you're looking for a big hit on trade and success from Mr. Trump's trade policies, I wouldn't look at this agreement. It's de minimis beyond de minimis. Mr. Trump has given Mr. Biden something of a gift as he imposed drug price controls as a reward to the drug companies who produce the COVID-19 vaccines. If this seems a little perverse, it is. This will allow Mr. Biden to also take further steps in that direction, which he spoke about often during his campaign. The basic theme is that drug companies have to give Medicare the lowest price they charge to anyone, and in particular, the health services in other developed countries. This will likely dampen the enthusiasm for innovation and research, although there are other ways this can be accomplished, and hopefully the Biden administration will find a way to meet both goals. Reports indicate that Black Friday was a tremendous success for online shopping, while foot traffic was down considerably, as shopping in general was altered by the coronavirus. Morgan Stanley analysts indicate that in-store sales declined 20% from last year, while online sales increased 21.6% from last year. This is not good news for in-store retailers, although many communities are pushing buy local. Whether or not that is sufficient to save local merchants is difficult to say at this point in time. We hope that it is. The CDC indicates that new research finds that patients are most infectious 2 days before symptoms begin and 5 days after. This is leading them to renew their analysis of how long an individual needs to be quarantined. It would appear that it is something less than 14 days, but is the number correct at 7 or 10? A tough call all the way around, but worth reviewing as the quarantine certainly adds additional stress to people's lives, and none of us need that at this point.